ready, gentlemen. Brace yourselves. This is it.
3, 2, 1.
Good morning.
Good morning, Wednesday.
Today is a great day. Today is the greatest day of my life.
It is Team Awesome Morning Party. We are here to hang out with you on your Wednesday.
Yep.
We're excited, man.
I'm excited.
Summer is, man, I want to say officially here because
it's got to be
hot.
Yeah, it's nice and warm outside. It's supposed to be highs in the 90s.
Yeah,
the
I was going to say, it's supposed to get really, really warm today. So for those of you who can wear shorts at work, we salute
man,
you.
I was talking to Don yesterday.
We salute you.
I was like, do you know how comfortable I could be if I could wear shorts? People would be looking at me saying, why is that guy so comfortable? What's he doing wrong? And man, I wish we could wear shorts.
I have 90 today.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay.
So if you're out there and you're wearing shorts for your job, you're lucky.
We're looking at you, UPS driver with the brown khaki shorts.
With no AC in your truck.
Boom.
You've got to be comfortable, right?
Right?
No.
Yeah, dude. So we got a great show for you today. I'm excited. It's Wednesday.
Yeah, it is.
Which means Max from Astro Zombies for Comics Corner. Mm. You know, gearing up for the summer, Shock Therapy Live taking a little break.
A little hiatus.
But I got that author for next week. It's confirmed.
Yes.
So we're going to have an author. There's he wrote a really interesting book. So we're going to be doing some different things throughout the summer. Some different interviews.
It's
with
gonna be fun.
Yeah, maybe some different type people that we don't normally get to hang out with on Team Awesome Morning Party, so I am excited for that as well. Yeah.
It's Wednesday.
So, we've got a great show for you today. Pretty stoked.
Pretty stoked. If you're awake and you're a kid, it's summertime, so
yeah,
we're
what are you doing?
Yeah.
So, also, if you're awake and you want to hang out with us, 505-338-3700 is the phone number. It's 505-338-3700. You can call us up. Hang out with us. Because it's summertime, and summertime is lonely time.
Lonely.
Everybody's, kicking it at home,
posting on Facebook about their favorite things, proving that they're lonely.
Lonely. Yeah, dude.
Okay. Okay. This person, I don't know who this is. Seriously, Mike Maine sounds like the Doodle Bops. Please stop playing Mike Maine's. I have to change the station when you do that.
We should call him.
Let's call him. Call the number.
Okay.
This was sent last night at 8:05. We're going to call, and we're going to leave a voicemail. This is like the fifth message we've gotten from this number.
And this person just hates Mike Maines.
And we love Mike Maines.
He's a great dude. And,
we're sorry. You must first dial a 1.
Oh, so it's not local.
Oh. Mystery.
Oh, my gosh. Can I do this?
Let me bless you. Use that phone.
Oh, your blessings suck. It didn't work.
No, you had already pressed it before I blessed you. It'll be good now. This is happening, people. It's happening right now.
You know, from time to time we get people who email in or
incessantly
or text in with their phone number. Open season.
Open season. If you send us your phone number, we get
the call.
We don't
even know their name.
Nope.
Boom. Good morning. I knew you were going to call.
Yeah!
Hey, Doodlebop.
How did you know we were going to call?
Because I was...
Oh, okay.
We're not going to quit playing that.
Why do you hate Mike Maines?
It just sounds like children's television Saturday morning.
You don't like Saturday mornings all of a sudden?
It's happy. It's so happy.
Are you okay?
I mean, what else can I say?
Yeah. No, it's true.
You need
to
just live
your
life.
That is
your
opinion. And it's okay.
When that song comes on.
It just has that certain tempo, that certain rhythm of, you know, let's appeal to a 5-year-old.
Do you like... Are you
with a colored plush costume?
Who do you like to listen to?
Yeah.
What music do you like?
Well, pretty much all of your music except for Mike Maines.
Okay.
Is it just the one
That's
song?
That's okay. There's a few tracks that I'm
I can't think of a single one from that group that I like.
Okay. Well, we're still going to keep playing
but
it.
If you all like it.
We'll switch it up.
That's just my opinion. Tell you what. Since you called.
Yeah.
Since you replied.
Yeah.
I will stop texting derogatory messages about Mike Mayer.
There you go.
You keep it positive. And we'll keep calling you for no reason.
Because Mike Maines is so positive, he just makes us happy.
Yeah, like a Saturday morning. Like,
I don't know.
I feel like I could listen to it and I could watch like Sesame Street and love my life.
I will say this.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a fan of Mike Maines, but I agree that it's very up and you have to be in a certain kind of mood because our buddy Jamie was here this last weekend and that was the only CD he had in the car and I rode with him pretty much all weekend. So I heard that entire record.
Really?
Over
That's cool.
and over and over, and it starts to bleed together. So I hear what you're saying.
Maybe that's why I'm not sick of it, because I have never really just sat and listened to the whole record. I did, like, when we first got it. I listened to it, like, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, Matt Hoops, so I got, MLK. Mm-hmm.
So I got I do have a request for the two of y'all.
Okay.
What's up?
So years ago, Steve-O, you tried to do something where you were trying to read the script from The Godfather.
Uh-huh.
And you were doing it, I think, in the voice of either Elmo or Arnold Schwarzenegger. And your other co-host at the time was trying to do it in either Elmo or Schwarzenegger.
Okay.
And you all never could pull it off because you were giggling so much while you were doing it. And you could never do it with a straight face and actually finish the gag.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think that you and Mateo could do it, but you might have to record them separately.
Yeah.
I could do it because that's how I talk to Don at home, is in the voice of Elmo.
In the voice of Elmo? Yeah.
Hey, Don, it's Elmo!
Hey, Don! Elmo, say hello!
But you all started the script writing, this is 2-3 years ago.
Oh, man.
And you couldn't finish it because you were just
giggling like idiots.
Was this Matt Gentry?
Probably.
You and Matt Gentry?
Probably. Sounds like something we would do.
Imagine.
Okay.
It was Gentry, yeah.
Challenge accepted. I feel like
challenge
I have
accepted.
To.
Challenge accepted.
Man, now I almost feel like I need to get Matt in here for that.
You should.
We should try.
He wants to come in.
He does. Maybe we could try and.
You and Mateo could pull it off.
Yeah, you could.
I hope
so.
I believe in you.
Yeah.
I do like Elmo.
Yeah.
There like you go. Elmo a little bit.
Gosh, that'd be amazing. All
that
right.
Would be funny.
Challenge accepted. We'll have to figure that one out.
Thank you for listening so closely.
Yes.
It's
awesome.
Well, it was a happening.
Yeah. So. Right on, man. Have a great day.
Yeah.
You all too.
All right, cool. There you go.
That's what I'm talking about. I love people.
Love will keep us together.
Yeah, we play songs on this station that I can't stand. There's a few songs. There's a song coming up here in the rotation that I do not like.
Oh,
even
watch.
One, oh, it's gone.
Oh, what happened?
It's gone.
Oh, it's gone. It's
gone. Yeah.
Oh, I.
But just because I don't like it doesn't mean you don't like it or That's other true. People don't like it.
Well, that one, I'm with you.
I know. I'm giving an example.
And the world will never know. But coming up, we do have some Kings of Leon. We got birthdays. We got breaking news. And Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now,
static.
Good morning.
Good morning to you there.
Okay, help it out.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Stay away from them.
Static Radio.
Turn on the news.
I have a little news flash.
We interrupt for this breaking news.
And now the news.
Hang on. A dead whale is stinking up the beach in California. It's a whale of a tail.
Ugh.
No. Whale of a no. smell. Hey! Took two times, but I got it. A wealthy real estate professional in San Francisco is giving away free money hidden throughout the city.
Wow.
I read about this on the internet. All you have to do is find one of the envelopes. Yeah, like...
Cash in the envelope.
Cashola, babies.
No way.
We need to send Petro back home. Bring some money to Static Radio. do it, Petro.
Yeah.
I know you're probably not awake right now. The annual list of America's top 10 beaches has been released, with the list being dominated by Hawaii, Florida, and the Carolinas.
Hmm.
No Cali?
That's interesting.
That is interesting. Iran's supreme leader says that the jihad against America will continue until America is no more. So, guys, we just need to quit. Just quit.
Was that you?
No.
Oh.
According to a new study, 9 out of 10 medical entries on Wikipedia are incorrect. That's right.
9 out of 10?
9 out of 10 medical entries on Wikipedia are incorrect. You know all you paranoid people need to be going to WebMD anyway.
Yep.
What are you going to Wikipedia for?
Gosh.
Man, that makes me want to go on Wikipedia and write more false information.
I feel like the internet has given people cause to make up new diseases they have.
It's given the voice to the hypochondria.
Yeah, man.
And that's important, because everybody needs a voice.
Gosh.
Especially when it's a sickly voice and it's a sickness that you just made up. Because you got itchy when somebody started talking about spiders.
Yeah, and you're like...
That's what happens.
I've got this. It's a rare form of cancer.
There's a new documentary on Britain's oldest paid escort. She's 85.
Mm-mm.
Don't want to watch that one. That's gross. Blech. Former child actor Macaulay Culkin's rock band was doused with beer and booed off stage.
Man.
Was Dawn telling us about this last night? Okay, so they are a cover band, and they replace the songs of that band that they're covering with, like, lyrics about pizza or something like that. Wasn't that the thing?
I'm looking it up.
It was on BBC.
Gosh, Macaulay Culkin.
Come on, buddy.
Man.
Number one at the box office. I heard my boy Doug talking about this in middays. It sounded great all day. It really did. Number one at the box office is the new X-Men movie, which we will be talking about today.
Do you see how much it's already made worldwide?
Just rocking, and deservedly so.
No bigs, like 300 mil.
If you haven't seen X-Men yet, oh man.
Yeah.
It's a good one. It's a sad day in the life of Mateo when he has to say that a Captain America movie and an X-Men movie are better than a Spider-Man movie. That's like a moral conundrum for me. I am in a moral dilemma. I don't know how to feel. And you can't tell me how to feel, Steve-O.
So, Macaulay Culkin's band is called Pizza Underground.
There it is. Who are they covering?
Velvet Underground.
That's what it is.
Yeah, Velvet Underground and Lou Reed tracks. So, they were able to perform It's a Pizza Day, which is their pizza version of Perfect Day. Oh, it's such a pizza day.
Oh.
That's Celeste's song. This would be her favorite band in the world, because Celeste
loves pizza.
You want to know the way to Celeste's heart, single dudes?
Yeah.
Pizza.
Pizza. Send her pizza every day.
Every day. She would eat it every day.
Don't.
Because I think she does eat it every day.
Write some creepy note on it.
Yes,
just send the pizza.
In pepperoni. Like,
oh, now that's inventive.
Yeah.
That would be pretty glorious.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like maybe you get a Hawaiian pizza with ham and pineapple and spell out Aloha, right?
Yeah.
With the toppings.
Yeah, because that could mean hello or goodbye.
That's true. And so you'd be saying hello, she'd be saying goodbye.
You say goodbye, I say hello.
David Schwimmer's surveillance footage helped New York authorities make a case against a criminal suspect. Thanks, Ross.
Yeah.
That's what
you get.
Love you,
Ross. You've always been my favorite, Ross.
Just working in that museum and helping out the policeman.
You're also great as the giraffe, which my son is now going to love, because thanks to Derek at the zoo,
Derek,
Brody is now a crazy giraffe fan.
Props to Derek.
Yeah.
And also to 2.0 by proxy.
Yeah.
Good pick, girl. A new study says that Wikipedia, just like we said, the online encyclopedia, quote-unquote, contains errors in 9 out of 10 of its health entries and should be treated with caution. Scientists in the U.S. compared entries about conditions such as heart disease, lung cancer, depression, and diabetes with peer-reviewed medical research. They said most articles in Wikipedia contained many errors, and this is the scary part of it. Up to 70% of physicians and medical students use Wikipedia.
Wow!
For research. 70%.
That's cool, man.
Don, maybe that's what happened with Zombie Finger.
Yep.
Maybe so.
They Wikipedia'd it. They ran away and Wikipedia'd
it. That's what they did when they went out of the room.
No, we can't. We can't.
We'll be right
back.
We need to go get the cauterizing iron. Did you make that up? No, it's real.
No, it's real.
It's in the other room. I'll bring it.
Somebody get your phone out. Wikipedia that.
Hang on.
Okay.
What is it? How do you spell it? Is that right? No.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
Cut the top of her finger off.
Just cut the finger off.
Can we reattach it?
No.
Does it?
No.
Are you sure?
Oh, yeah.
What does Wikipedia say?
It says never reattach it.
Oh, okay.
It says if you reattach it, that you could grow a sixth finger, or you could have to amputate your entire left leg.
Oh, well, we don't want to do that, so let's just
But it doesn't have anything to do with the leg.
Yeah, but it's Wikipedia, so it's always
okay.
Right.
Okay, all
yeah,
right,
yeah,
let's
yeah,
do
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Okay.
One of the five white tiger cubs at the White Zoo in Austria has been named after President Barack Obama.
Wow.
Okay. Not ironic. Obama is the only male in the litter, and his brother of Leela, Lulu, Layla, and Lolly.
Okay.
Somebody ran out of ideas. There wasn't another L name?
Oh, man.
What about Leo? That wouldn't have made sense.
Mm.
Well, he is a tiger, I guess.
These are our cubs. Lala, Lulu, Larry, Lazenby, Barack Obama.
For all you evolution fans out there, photographer Grant Hughes recorded a video of swallows operating an automatic door in a bike parking garage at the University of Victoria in Canada. According to Hughes, the swallows were already nesting in the garage when the door was added to the entrance. The birds are able to activate the motion sensors for the door from both the inside and outside, which allows them to pass in and out of the garage with ease.
That's pretty crazy.
Those birds figured that crap out.
It's pretty
birds
awesome.
Are evil. Have you seen them looking like they sit on the power lines and they watch?
They
wait. And they plot. And they scheme.
I wonder what that's thinking.
And they give us little previews when they poop on us.
Mm-hmm.
Just so we know what's up.
Yeah.
They are.
Mm-hmm. Boom.
The older you get, the more problems you have. More money, more problems, man. I know all about it.
That's what my boy Diddy always said.
Or Biggie. Just take it from a heartbroken 5-year-old boy whose mom posted a video on YouTube of him complaining over the fact that he has not one, not two, but three little girlfriends who are simply making his life a chaotic mess.
Okay.
Rather than count his blessings, this little guy has decided the only right thing to do is to simply cut one of the cuties loose.
Okay. How old is he?
5-year-old. The boy tells his mom his life is a little bit stressful at the moment. They're all pretty. I have to give one up.
Oh,
and then,
my gosh.
Like many of us do, he gets all nostalgic. I wish I was 4 again.
Stop it right now.
It's real life. There's a video.
Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious on one level, and then I remember it's real life, and I want to go smack that mom. What are you doing, mom?
I had a bunch of girlfriends when I was a kid.
Okay. No.
Yeah.
No.
Had a ton of them, man.
Gosh, dude.
It was great.
Ugh.
Attention, students. You may now twerk hard and fall crazy in love in the classroom. Classroom is how you say it.
Yeah.
Miley Cyrus and Beyonce will be studied at two universities this summer. At Rutgers University, all the single ladies and other students, really, could put their hands up in feminist perspectives, politicizing Beyonce. The course begins today. And covers the growth of Queen Bey's media empire with a special emphasis on how she manages her roles as a black icon and sex symbol with motherhood and marriage.
You know, when you thought you had misread it, you think it was right. Crassroom, the first time.
Oh, Crassroom.
Yeah, I think you got it right. The first
Ironically
time.
Named Skidmore College in upstate New York will offer the sociology of Miley Cyrus.
That's
to give pupils
right
a crash course
yes.
in the history of someone the same age they are. In a career of less than a decade, Miss Miley Cyrus has already proved herself a useful primary document for discussions of sex and power in media, says teacher Carolyn Chernoff.
Gosh.
Just when we thought, hey, maybe we can convince them to stop. They're getting college courses.
More like no classroom, you know what I'm saying?
There you go. Guys, hey, I'm always railing on diet soda and how much I hate it.
Yeah.
This study was funded by the diet soda industry, so take it with a grain of salt.
Okay.
Little disclaimer there.
Okay.
The study found that diet soda drinkers lose more weight over a 12-week study period than former diet soda drinkers who replaced sweetened drinks with water. Funded by diet soda.
You know what?
Companies.
That why that is?
Why?
The cancer.
Oh. That's what it is.
Yeah.
The study from the University of Colorado and published in the journal Obesity found study participants who gave up diet drinks for water lost an average of 9 pounds during a 12-week study period, while those who drank diet soda on average lost 13 pounds in the same study period. I would not trust it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
They funded it.
You know what also helps, like, lose weight?
What?
Getting off your butt and, like, exercising and doing things other than just depending upon diet sodas.
No, that's too hard.
Oh.
I refuse.
Okay.
I refuse.
Okay.
A 19-year-old's attempt to fly into the record books will start today in San Diego. Matt Guthmiller will take off from Gillespie Field and try to become the youngest person to fly solo around the world. He estimates it will take him 40 days with 20 stops on 5 continents. Current record's held by a 21-year-old. This guy will post updates on his Facebook page.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
Yep.
Police in Portland, Oregon were dispatched to check out a man running in traffic at 7 a.m. The man would be easy to spot. He was dressed in chainmail and a helmet, carrying a sword, a staff, and a shield, and had, quote-unquote, attacked a car.
Wow.
When officers arrived, they were told Conrad Bass had walked up the hood of a BMW and repeatedly stabbed the car with his sword, causing $4,000 in damage. This guy explained to officers that he was a high elf engaged in battle with the evil Morgoth.
Well, that makes sense.
And was also tripping on LSD. There's
okay.
Always that part of it. But the battle with Morgoth, or whatever, that's...
It's pretty crazy.
That's important.
Yeah.
You don't want to miss out on that.
You really, really don't. I mean, I really wish I could have been there for said battle.
And the last little bit of breaking news before we do some traffic.
All right.
When we were at the zoo the other day, we saw a giant crocodile.
We did!
The thing was huge.
It was amazing.
A 6-foot-long crocodile named Fedya was treated for injuries after a 265-pound woman fell on it. A group from the Soviet circus were traveling to their next show location when the driver hit a pothole and had to make a sudden turn. The sharp swerve led to the troop's accountant, the unnamed woman, to tumble from her seat. Unfortunately, Fedya the crocodile just happened to be resting underneath her on a blanket and took the full force of her girth. Soon the crocodile was vomiting and had to be taken to the vet clinic. That's sad.
That is sad.
I feel sorry for a crocodile because a fat lady sat on it.
Yeah.
That's my life. And with that, we move to traffic.
Oh, man.
Nothing to report right now other than construction at I-25 in Paseo and Highway 47, Broadway Boulevard, Southeast South at Rio Bravo. That is your look at traffic right now.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast. On the Calvary campus, our quaint little coffee shop of awesome. Get a cup of Joe, starting at 7 a.m. when they open. You can give them a call at 505-338-3669. It's 505-338-3669. I am ready for that iced Americano.
I am ready for birthdays.
With Doug!
Nice fade.
Yeah, thank you. Hello.
Hey, buddy. Doug. How you doing?
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing fine.
Fantastic.
Doing fine.
Good. Today is May 28, 2014, day 148. There are 217 more days remaining in the year.
Yeah.
First up this morning, an American television personality and talk show host. In 2001, she was a contestant on the second season of the American version of Survivor, where she finished in fourth place. Then, in November of 2003, she replaced Lisa Ling as the fourth co-host on The View, Matthew's favorite show.
Thank you. I love that show. I'm subscribed.
And she actually won a Daytime Emmy Award for Outstanding Talk Show Host. And then, after 10 years on The View, in 2013, she left and went and hosted Fox and Friends. And she is married to Tim Hasselbeck.
Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Yes.
Hey!
I was actually going to say that before he said Tim.
Yeah, right!
Said, nah. Because I could be wrong. Because I don't know. But I was right!
She's right, Doug.
She's 44.
She today is 39.
Today she is 37 years old.
Gosh.
Next up, singer-songwriter has such hits as Lucky, Brighter Than the Sun, Bubbly,
Kobe Calais.
Yes.
Boom.
Who?
Kobe Calais, man. You know her voice when she sings. Listen.
I've been away for a while now.
Is that L. Puckett? You got a feeling
like China. She wishes it was. What's up, Dale? What's up, Dale? I know you.
Starts in my toes, every creak of my nose.
Nope.
Wherever it goes.
26.
She's 28. Today she is 29.
Ah!
Next up, an American actress who has achieved success in television comedy. Her foremost roles include Kate O'Brien on The Drew Carey Show, Jordan Sullivan on Scrubs, which was actually created by her husband. She's also appeared in Seinfeld, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, CSI Miami, and since 2009, she's had a starring role in the TBS, formerly ABC sitcom Cougar Town.
Oh, what's her name?
What is her first name?
Is it the blonde girl?
Sarah Chalk. Is it Sarah Chalk?
No.
Oh.
I don't know.
Krista Miller.
Krista Miller. Okay. Which one is that?
She was Dr. Cox's ex-wife on Scrubs.
Oh, of course! I'm an idiot! She plays Courtney Cox's best friend, which is kind of ironical, because she was Dr. Cox's wife on Scrubs, and then she's Courtney Cox's best friend.
Interesting and such.
Irregardless. 45!
44.
Today, she is... 50.
Wow!
Oh, I'm no Superman.
She looks really good for 50.
Looking good when you're 50 years old. Takes a lot of makeup.
But she doesn't... I don't know.
What is this fantastic little ditty?
Next up, singer.
Wait, I know this. Can't get you out of my head.
She has such hits as Into the Blue, Can't Get You Out of My Head.
There it is.
And Locomotion. Australian.
Kylie Minogue.
Yes.
There it is. Hang on, I'm dancing.
All you had to say was Australian, eh? Kylie Minogue is 38.
Kylie Minogue today is 41.
Today she is 46.
Dang. People getting old in this club.
Next up, former presidential candidate and New York City mayor.
Dan Quayle. Rudy Giuliani.
Yes.
I got to shake his hand. I shook his hand.
Was he a kind-hearted
man?
He
was mayor? Here with W once.
W?
And they came around.
Let me tell you guys about something.
Shaking hands.
Terry.
Like, yeah! Today. Said, loved you on Saturday Night Live.
I liked how he always participated. Yeah, made me happy.
There was a sketch with him on Saturday Night Live many years ago where they were talking about graffiti in New York, and his solution was they just wrote sucks underneath everybody's name. Whenever I see graffiti to this day, I was like, don't you just write sucks underneath their name?
That's what I'm talking about. I'm all about solutions up in here.
Yes, Rudy Giuliani. Okay. You are 64, sir.
He is 62.
Today he is the big 7-0.
Hey!
Congrats, Rudy.
Hey, yeah!
Leaving on that midnight train to Georgia.
Yes. She sang with the Peeps.
The Peeps?
Yeah.
The Easter candy?
No.
Good, because I hate that crap.
Isn't it the Pips?
The Pips, the Peeps, Pips. Whatever.
The Pips.
It depends on where you live from.
Because the Peeps,
Gladys Knight,
are those candies, and they are awful.
Yeah.
You know who loves Gladys Knight? Ethan Luck.
He loves Peeps?
He loves Gladys Knight.
Oh.
I hope he doesn't love Peeps.
I hate Peeps.
Me too. Doug, do you like Peeps
no.
at Easter? Good.
They're awful.
I don't even like marshmallows.
I am not a marshmallow guy.
Yeah.
At all. Well, unless they're like freeze-dried and they're called Lucky Charms, in which case,
yeah.
You go. Totally cool with that.
You guys like s'mores, though, right?
Yeah, I'm down with s'mores.
S'more what?
Even
on that midnight train to Georgia.
On the midnight train to Georgia.
Yeah.
Going back to find
to a simpler place.
Gladys Knight is 71.
She's 82.
Today she is also the big 70.
Ah!
And the last birthday this morning. Not a Major League Baseball player this
Charlie
time.
Charlie Sheen.
Nope. Singer, songwriter.
Did he write this song?
He did.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
The
Who wrote
only
this?
Song inducted in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Wow.
There you go.
Who wrote this?
Listen to her voice.
Red and green and drum and hold the phone. The sun came out today.
It sounds like the guy from CCR.
Dan Fogerty.
Close.
Really?
Yeah, you got one of the names
John
right.
Fogerty.
John Fogerty.
John
That's
Fogerty,
what it is.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember. Fogerty.
You know there were people in the car screaming about that one.
Yeah.
They were like, what? 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 Oh, they got it. Okay.
Bull Durham. Every time I hear this song, I've seen Bull Durham.
Dude. Fogerty is 63.
Oh, 65.
Today, John Fogerty is 69 years old.
Dang, we didn't
Billy
get a
Ted.
One of them.
We were off our game.
We was off our game, but I'll tell you who weren't. John Fogerty. Am I right?
Moving on to dates.
All right. Oh, snap.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, gosh, this song is
Who sings this, Doug?
The Cars.
Yeah, bless you.
On this day, what year Dodge Brothers Incorporated merged with Chrysler Corporation?
I don't care. I just love this song.
Yeah, we're not going to answer.
Yeah, we just want to hear the song.
This song needs to go in rotation.
Oh, man. I wish. We need to have, like, a classic culture shock.
Yeah.
Culture shock. Classic.
Don't stop believing. Okay, gosh, the Cars. 1950.
Nothing's wrong.
1978.
Happened in 1928.
Oh.
This saying, what year President Dwight Eisenhower signed a law that added the words "Under God" to the U.S. Pledge of Allegiance.
Heck yeah, bro!
Lee what? Greenwood, baby,
and I'm proud to be an American. But at least I know I'm Steve.
No.
Wait, what?
Oh,
man who died and gave that right to Steve.
No.
So,
next to you in the vendors still today.
Yes.
No doubt I love this land. God bless the U.S. Day.
For my bachelor party, we went to an Isotopes
US
game
Dave.
Last year, and they played, they did the fireworks, and they started playing the song mid-fireworks.
Yeah.
And, like, the stadium just rubbed it in a USA chant.
That's pretty awesome.
USA! USA!
Nothing like a bunch of hillbillies right. drinking at a ball game.
Dwight D. Eisenhower, under God, added to the Pledge of Allegiance.
Well,
you
I
mean
really
it wasn't in there the whole time?
I really wish I could remember when Dwight C. Eisenhower was
New York to LA.
I'm just going to get it wrong, so 19... Eisenhower.
1938.
1954. Okay. I mean, way off. Way off.
This day in what year 19-year-old West German pilot Matthias Russ evaded Soviet Union air defenses and landed a private plane in Red Square in Moscow. He was immediately detained and not released for another year and a half.
62.
68.
1987. Wow.
And the last one this morning. On this day, what year Barry Bonds of the San Francisco Giants hit his 715th home run to pass Babe Ruth on the career list and move into second place behind Hank Aaron?
2002.
2003.
This happened in 2006.
Oh, later than we thought.
Yeah.
Today is World MS Day. Today is Hamburger Day. It is Senior Health and Fitness Day. And it is Brisket Day.
Down brisket.
I'm down with that brisket.
We got a great show for you today. It's Wednesday.
Don't bring me down.
Question of the day will be posted. Facebook.com/MySaticRadio. Of course, Comics Corner. We got a best of Shock Therapy Live for you.
It's summertime, y'all.
Summertime, baby. Summertime. I'm going to go swimming.
You can get your requests on at Facebook.com/MySaticRadio. You can email us, studio@mystaticradio.com, or give us a call, 505-338-3700. We're here. We're hanging. Woo-hoo. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Right now.
Static.
Who's ready for some more Team Awesome Morning Party?
Anyone?
Anyone? Anyone?
Come on, don't be shy.
Well, tough, we're giving you more anyway.
Bingo, man, bingo!
Static Radio.
Careful traffic.
Oh, traffic.
We did it.
We did it.
We did it, everybody.
We did it. You guys don't know what we did, but we did it. Traffic. Not a lot going on. We've got construction I-25 and Paseo del Norte. Also down south, road construction, the roadway being reduced to one lane, Highway 47 Broadway Boulevard, southeast, south at Rio Bravo. That is your look at traffic right now.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osteen Road Northeast on the Calvert campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669. Six-nine.
Classic Doug.
Just kicking it and being Doug. That Doug. Doug, get us a topic.
Well, there's a couple of funny stories in here.
We need a question of the day is what we need.
We do need a question of the day. Let me tell you guys about something real quick. We got the crocodile that got squished when the fat lady fell on it.
Yeah. I feel really bad for that crocodile.
We have the, and maybe this would be a good something, question of the day. An Oklahoma City Council has approved a liquor license for a new gun range.
Okay.
The 40,000 square foot business includes 24 firearm lanes, 10 archery lanes, and a cafe where food and alcohol will be served. But there will be precautions. Co-owner Jeff Swanson says customers' driver's licenses will be flagged once they order a drink, preventing them from drinking alcohol before entering the shooting facility. Probably a better idea just to not even have it around. But who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe that's me. Maybe that's just me. I don't know.
So we mentioned this, I think last week, actually.
Last week.
Fernando Corbato. He's a retired researcher who is one of the people credited with inventing the computer password.
Yes.
50 years ago.
50.
He keeps all of his passwords typed up on sheets of paper.
Mm-hmm.
Passwords.
Old
important
school.
Things.
He's old school.
So here's a question. Do you write down your passwords? Do you have them all memorized?
Yep.
Or how many times do you have to go, forgot my password?
I have a few passwords that I use always.
Okay.
I have like five or six.
Five or six?
Mm-hmm.
Gosh!
And I just remember those. So I just go like...
What if you only get three attempts?
Well then, man. No, there's three that I generally use.
Okay,
but there are they're alternates.
All our when we log in here to like clock in or whatever and do all that stuff.
Always
I get locked out always because you get three attempts and then you have to contact like HR. I have too many passwords, so I can't. I don't know. Is writing it down the worst thing in the world?
No.
I found this thing. One of this person's coworkers keeps her work-related passwords on post-it notes attached to the monitor at work. We have a couple of those here.
Well, that's... Yeah, here's one. Right there.
Right. So those are for, like, Facebook and things like that.
If the webcam was turned just a smidge, you would be able to get into all of our social media.
We're terrible! terrible with passwords.
Terrible people doing terrible things.
505-338-3700. Do you keep passwords in inconspicuous places? Do you have them memorized? I feel like they're getting stupid because now when you have to update a password, it's like, okay, I'm going to go... And then first of all, they're insulting you because they're like, weak... Weak. That password is weak.
Somebody tried to hack into one of Don's social media accounts yesterday.
Whoa! Are you serious?
One of the Firefly ones.
Wow.
They tried to get her.
Dude, so they tell you it's weak. Second of all, now it's like, sorry, you need to have a capital letter, a lowercase letter, a number, a figure.
They're trying to help.
It's like, oh, because man.
Because a lot of people just did like the... You know, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
But it doesn't help me at all, because when I have to like... Sit there and really think about a password? Okay, well, that didn't work. All right, maybe if I capitalize this one and turn the O to a zero.
Zero.
And then if this is the... And all of a sudden I'm like, how did I spell this one? I can't remember my password!
See, that's what you got to be careful about.
And then you have to reset it, and then they're like, sorry, you can't use the last 5 passwords that you've used.
Dang
like,
it!
What?!
Oh.
It'll never work out for
you've
me.
You've got too many. Yeah. I have. There's one password that I use that I've been using for like 10 years, but I have
it's
alternate. I have alternate versions of that password with different symbols.
Gotcha.
But it says the same thing. But
gotcha.
I change up. Different
See, that's
things.
Smart. I need to figure out a word that I'll actually remember. Because you know, it's bad when the inventor of the computer password is writing them down on a piece of paper. Because he can't remember all of his stupid passwords. Yeah. Where do you store your passwords? We want to know so that we can hack in.
Yeah, let us know.
Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio.
You could just tell us your password. Just tell us.
Or, of course, 505-338-3700, the phone number.
It's open.
Oh, yeah. On the way, we got some Blindside for you. Got some Coldplay for you. First up, Remedy Drive. Team Awesome Morning Party.
No!
Static.
Don't touch that dial. Listen to
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
We're back.
Team Awesome Morning Party. Happy Wednesday. Gosh, a lot going on in the world today.
Hey everybody, lots going on in the world. We want to tell about it.
Yeah. And stuff.
And
whatnot and such, yeah.
We realize that it's summertime, yeah. So it's awesome. Another good thing to talk about would be like where people are going on vacation.
Heck yeah.
So I want to know, because I'm not getting a vacation. I was about to
Dang
say,
it!
I want to know where everybody else is going because I don't get a vacation.
Yeah, we're not really going to get to go anywhere. It's always difficult.
I get many vacations, though. I'm not complaining. Every once in a while, I get to go play shows and...
Yeah, I was going to say, coming up in August.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, we got something cool in the works for y'all.
Yeah. Working on it. Praying for a really rad Team Awesome Morning Party road trip.
Looking for a reason. Roaming through the night to find my pleasing suit.
Yeah, so we could be coming to your city. Keep it locked to Static
road
Radio.
Road trip.
Hoping for a really rad road trip. Of course, road trips cost money.
They do.
So we're waiting on some funding. If you're a local business and you just want to see us get out to all the major cities in the U.S.
U.S. and A.
Just need some help. Studio@mystaticradio.com is our email address if you took that seriously, because we're serious too. So you can help us out. Studio@mystaticradio.com. Speaking of bling.
Yeah.
I found this. We'll get back to the password thing, I promise.
Yeah, sure.
I found the story. I guess some dude in San Francisco who is one of those guys who just has money for days and is like, you know what? I got money for days.
We just need one of those people to like our station.
He has a Twitter handle, @HiddenCash. He started sharing clues and images of places around the San Francisco area where he'd hidden envelopes stuffed with cash.
Cash.
There hasn't been a whole lot of explanation about the scavenger hunt, much more than this. He said, quote, I'm in that 1% that some people loathe, but rather than hating people who are successful, my point would be to encourage people who have been successful to give back a little more.
Mm.
Yeah, so
I like that.
It looks like San Franciscans are taking his advice. Still unclear who's behind this experiment, but his Twitter account now has more than 100,000 followers, and those finding the cash are beginning to use the hashtag #PayItForward along with their tweets. Yeah. Alexandra Etherton, she's an author in San Fran. She found an envelope outside the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals building near City Hall, and she said she's going to use some of the money to buy her own books and then donate those around the city.
Oh,
is that really paying for porn?
No, she's got important things to say. Okay? Important things.
She gave the rest to those working at a nearby coffee shop where she first read the clue. So she went back. This is crazy. I would feel like a thief.
Pretty cool, though.
Yeah. Samantha Kane, she's a freelance conference and event planner, heard about the scavenger hunt. She stumbled upon an envelope in Dolores Park this last Sunday, and she ended up taking her stepdad out for dinner with the $100 she found, because her stepdad was the one that showed her the article.
Hmm.
Leo Sunga, lifelong San Fran resident, found $100 after following a Twitter clue earlier Sunday morning while getting ready for church, and he in turn flipped all the money, boom, to St. Anne's Catholic Church where he attends.
There you go. Yeah,
so he said later that day he found another envelope but decided to leave it there for a different $100 to find, because he said, quote, I felt like I'd been blessed enough that day.
Hashtag
blessed.
He
didn't even do anything with it. Like, he gave it all to the church.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. So, apparently, this is like one of those rad stories.
Yeah.
Because apparently, Matt Burkett, he's a civil engineer based in San Fran. He said that it's been awesome running around, and there have even been times where he's been shoulder to shoulder with other people on their Twitter looking at the clues.
Oh.
And so he said in those instances where there are people who have missed out, they weren't bitter. They just celebrated with the person who found the envelope.
Yeah!
He said, quote, there's definitely a lot of camaraderie. This dude actually got one of the $100 envelopes on Sunday. He said, I think people know it's not about the money. It's more about the adventure. It's all about paying it forward. And so he has no idea what he's going to do with the $100. He originally was going to pay for lunch at his office, but decided to wait. He said, quote, I'm kind of waiting for a little more inspiration. I don't want to just pay the money forward. I want to pay the fun and adventure that we had searching for it forward.
That's cool.
So,
what's happening, man?
I don't know,
good
man.
Thing. That's a cool thing.
So, yeah, it's not Friday. We normally do a Pay It Forward Friday. But on this Wednesday, this dude in San Francisco, he's thrown out $100 envelopes all around the city and asking people to pay it forward. And it's actually been working. People have been paying it forward, so...
That's cool.
Yeah, 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. If you found a $100 envelope, what would you do?
Ooh.
How would you, like, pass that along? I would probably... You know what I would do? I'd go buy a bunch of comic books.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I would read them all.
Yeah. No.
No, that's all I got. No. I was going to say I'd donate them to, like, local schools, but that's a lie.
It would be cool.
I just read them.
I think the spirit of the pay it forward thing with this money is really motivating people to say, hey, you know, I just won this, but I wanted somebody else to win, too. This is cool. It's a cool feeling. And that's pretty neat.
It's like, well, it's the Christian life. It's infectious.
Infectious.
If you're actually living... As, you know, one who loves Jesus, it can be infectious, and people, in turn, want to do the same.
They
want to
do it.
Because they see something different about you. You know, coming up next week, we are going to be interviewing an author, and it's a sad story, but I'm excited to have him in. His name's Rich, and we're going to be talking about his book. Basically, I don't want to say calling out Christians, but... Calling out Christians.
Oh, okay.
So Gandhi once said, Jesus is ideal and wonderful, but you Christians, you are not like him. And so Rich wrote a book kind of based upon that. That's where he got his early inspiration. But his big question is the intolerance against Christianity exacerbated by those who say they believe yet show zero visible evidence of it? So we're going to be talking to him about his book, Man's Rejection of God, Who's Responsible? That's the name of his book. And it's kind of the thing. People, when they see you doing something different, like this guy who's given out hundreds of dollars, people want to pay it forward. People in turn want to be kind. People in turn want to help their fellow man. People want to do something about that. And yet on the flip side, when they see Christians who are called to be set apart, called to live differently, acting like idiots. In turn, where's the hope in that, you know? Right. And so it's going to be interesting to talk to this dude next week, because I think people are going to be a little surprised, you know?
Yeah.
By the conversation that we have, and by this book, because whose fault is it really that people are walking away or choosing not to? Now, of course, at the end of the day, when they stand before God, they are going to have to give an account for
their
own
decision.
Life. Yeah, absolutely. Everyone has a choice. But we could be encouraging or very much so discouraging the decision they made.
It's kind of like you don't want to join the club where everybody's a jerk.
Right.
Unless you're a bully. In which case, I'm watching you, bullies.
505-338-3700, the phone number. This wealthy dude hiding cash around San Francisco for a scavenger hunt, and it has caught on. Many of people finding $100 envelopes and paying it forward. In fact, it began a hashtag pay it forward, and we've seen some pretty rad stories on Twitter about the people who have found the $100 bills who have not been using it for themselves, but to bless somebody else. So you can check that out. We found the story. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or give us a call, 505-338-3700.
We got a call.
Static.
Yo, good morning, fellas.
Hey. What up?
You know what I would do? I would buy myself one thing.
What?
I would buy myself a Static Radio sticker.
Boom.
For $100.
Dude, you know what? You don't even have to buy that. We've got them free here at the station.
I know. That's the point, man.
Oh, okay, right.
Thanks, dude.
Got you. Come got you. Hey, you know what? Hey.
Come on, guys.
Hey, can I hang up on me?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it got real quiet. Can I make a song request?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Can I hear some TFK?
What do you think, buddy? How
what
about this
song?
I don't care. Steve-O pick.
Here's what we're going to do.
Steve-O pick.
I'll be on the side of TFK.
Okay.
And Mateo will be on the side of Sanity. And we're going to play Paper, Rock, Scissors. And if I win, we'll play TFK.
That sounds good.
Boom! Okay.
Now, how are we doing this? 1, 2, 3.
Okay. It's a paper. 1, 2, boom, and then you throw it? Or 1, 2, 3, and then you throw it?
What do you want to do?
I usually go 1, 2, boom.
Okay, let's do
okay,
that.
Ready? Okay, ready?
Yeah, you got to do it on three.
Right, on three. On three. Right, on three. Go. Okay, ready? Bah! Right, ah! Scissors,
wins.
I win. Okay. All right. Well, we will totally get some on for you. Now I just have to figure out which song. There's 1,000 TFK songs, which is kind of ironical because they're called Thousand Foot Crutch.
Irregardless, we're going to play one.
There you go. We'll play it for you, man.
I appreciate it.
All right, thanks,
yes, sir.
All right.
God bless.
God bless you, too. Bye. Speaking of Static merch, we're working towards some new Static gear.
Ooh.
In the form of pretty much the raddest shirt I've ever seen in my life.
Getting designs.
Yeah, so we've been looking at that. So all of you Static fanatics out there that love the station and want to help support us, be looking out for that this summer as we work towards getting some new gear. It's going to be awesome. Static.
What up, dude?
Hey! Shay!
What's going on, Shay?
Yeah! Hey!
What's up, buddy?
Hey. Shane. Hey, dude. What are you guys doing, man?
You know, just chilling, trying to figure out which TFK song you want to play.
It's going to take a while.
The end is where we are.
Sure.
Sure.
What are you doing, Shane?
Yeah.
I'm working, man.
Boom!
Supporting my family, dude. Being a good guy.
You working hard. Business.
Living a clean life.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Being an inspiration to my children.
Inspiring children. That reminds me, when I woke up this morning, this song was in my head. I believe the children of the future. Like, I woke up and that went boom and hit me in the head.
That's pretty cool.
I don't know where it came from.
Do you sing, like, every morning arbitrarily, just like as you're moving around getting ready to go to work?
Oh, Stever just found a dollar in Mitch's office and wanted to pay it forward.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
So he dropped it off.
That's stealing.
No. He found it in Mitch's office. Totally normal. He just wanted to pay
for it. No, dude. No, that's in Mitch's office. It's Mitch's dollar, dude.
Nah. I trust me. We know what she makes. That's not her dollar.
That's
she
not
doesn't,
her dollar.
She doesn't have a dollar. Right?
Dude, that's hilarious. That goes all well in your guys' life? Things
yeah,
good?
Heck yeah. Can't complain.
Yeah, man. Just gearing up for the summertime.
Summertime.
So, yeah.
You going touring? You guys having some shows over there for the
We're
Static
hoping.
Fanatics?
Static We're hoping. Fanatic. We're working on stuff right now. We got a couple things lined up that could be awesome.
I'm excited. All right, you guys. I love you guys. Have a great day.
Love you, Shane. Hurricane Shane.
Just being kind.
Yeah. All right. Shall we take a quick break?
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll be back in just a second.
Coming up, that TFK we promised. Hey, we promised.
So?
And we're studying the book of James right now, so we got to let our yes be yes and our no be no.
No.
I said if I won, I just really thought you were going to throw a rock out there, so I hit scissors, you dummy.
Shouldn't have done
Who starts with paper? Ugh.
A mystery man.
Yeah, you are a mystery man. Now we're going to play some TFK.
I'll tell you who starts with paper. Somebody who's unpredictable.
Speaking of unpredictable, TFK on the way. Also, woo! Some music from the Myriad. In the next hour, we've got Comics Corner with our boy Max from Astro Zombies. Stay
oh,
close.
Yeah.
It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Ow.
Static. But your empty eyes seem to pass me by. Leave me dancing on with myself. So let's sink another drink. Who's it again?
Get ready for a jolt. Ready?
Wake up!
It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Wake up!
On Static Radio.
Oh, and here comes trouble. Here comes trouble. Here comes trouble.
I am on it.
We got to talk about traffic.
Yeah, we do.
Because somebody called in and said there was some business going on.
Crazy business.
Now, he said 25 North around Isleta was at a standstill. And I'm trying to figure out what's up with that.
What's up with that?
What's up with that?
It looks like there's a stalled vehicle. The left lane's blocked at Rio Bravo Boulevard east at I-25. And then also Paseo is a mess right now where it's meeting 25 with construction. And there's an accident reported I-25 north at Jefferson. Exit 229. And traffic is getting stalled behind that. If you're going westbound on 40 before you get to the big interchange here in town, you're going to be going a little bit slower.
Booyah.
But that's pretty much it. That's all I see. If you guys see something that we don't report, do like that guy did and call in and tell Doug. And then he'll tell us and we'll make it happen.
There you go. Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, the coffee shop here on the Calvary Albuquerque campus.
Coffee.
Phone number is 505-338-3669. It's 505-338-3669. Joining us in studio, Maximilian!
Max! Good morning, gentlemen.
You did it.
And people listening? I'm good. How are you guys?
I am fantastic now that you're here, buddy.
Aw.
Because, well, you know.
I'm fantastic now that it's Wednesday and there's new comic books.
Heck
hooray!
Yeah. Favorite hour of the week. Are we ready to do this, y'all?
Yes.
Yeah? Max?
Yes.
All right.
Oh, nerds.
To the idiot mobile.
Hey,
I'm a girl!
I'm a girl.
You're a girl.
You're a girl.
You're a girl.
Oh, you're a girl.
Doug is a woman.
Comics Corner!
Let's do it.
Comics Corner! Sponsored by Astro Zombies, 3100 Central Avenue Southeast. AstroZombies.com or 232-7800 for more on those bad boys. Joined in studio by the manager of said outfit.
There he is.
Wait, where is he? Oh, that's me.
Is that your official title?
Yes.
Manager.
Oh, official.
Astro Zombies. Do you have a business card?
I do not.
Oh, you need to get one.
Manager, is it assistant to the regional manager? Is that it?
Oh, I wish there was a regional manager.
Mm. Yeah.
But no, it's just me.
No.
Max from Astro Zombies hanging out with us. And if you're just joining us for the first time on Comics Corner, it is our segment on all things fun and awesome and cool, including movies, television shows, whatnots, and of course all the latest comics that are releasing today, because Wednesday's comic book day!
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Although I feel like we have to start with a movie.
Yeah, some big news.
We got a few movies, man.
A few movies.
Gosh, okay.
And TV series.
Yeah, well, this song right now that you're hearing in the background comes from a film called Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, which could be the greatest movie of all time.
Man.
Or it might not be.
It could be.
Could be.
Could be.
Could not be. Could be.
We don't know.
Are we on Earth 616?
I believe so.
Then it's not.
He's right.
Well, fudge.
The director of this movie, Edgar Wright, was attached to a movie called Ant-Man.
Yeah, that's right.
That I've really been looking forward to. And then this week, it was officially announced that Edgar Wright left Ant-Man.
Edgar Wright is no longer directing Ant-Man.
And that's a bummer. Not only did he do Scott Pilgrim, but he also did Hot Fuzz.
Shaun of the Dead.
He did, what's the newer one?
The World's End.
The World's End. Gosh, great movies.
So we were amped
Yeah.
For Ant-Man.
I was stoked.
And it takes a lot to get people excited about Ant-Man.
It's Ant-Guy. Well, he left because now, and more details, there's actually an article that just got posted that's giving more details on why he left, because everybody, mostly comic fans, were like, what? No!
Yeah. We're pretty sad, guys.
Because he's a pretty beloved director.
Yeah.
He's got a good balance of, like, action and comedy mm-hmm. with a little twist thrown into every movie.
And that's what Ant-Man needs.
That's exactly what he needs.
Now, not what he's going to get. Did you see James Gunn's comments yesterday?
Yeah.
James Gunn, director of Guardians of the Galaxy, said, sometimes, you know, it's like you've got friends who are dating, and then that relationship doesn't work, and you still love both of them. Yeah. But it just wasn't meant to be. They're both great people, but talking about the relationship between Marvel and Edgar Wright.
Yeah.
So
because he's more of like an auteur director, you know?
Yeah.
He's got his thing.
Yeah.
It's his movie. If you watch an Edgar Wright movie, you know.
Yeah.
That's an Edgar Wright movie.
Marvel wanted it more in line with the bigger universe at large, mm-hmm. and Edgar Wright definitely wanted it to be standalone.
Well, and the thing was, he approached Marvel 6 years ago or whatever, before that, like, Iron Man even came out, and he was like, I want to do an Ant-Man movie.
Yeah.
So they had started on it way back then, but then they started building the cinematic universe, and he was doing other films. They kind
of
put it.
It is smart of Marvel to say, well, we have this giant universe, and you want to do this standalone.
Yeah, it sucks. But
it's Ant-Man, so, I mean, couldn't they just let him do his own thing?
Well, but he is an important part of, like, the Avengers. The new Avengers movie is Age of Ultron, and we know that Hank Pym, in the form of Michael Douglas, which, please don't leave the movie, Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
Was supposed to kind of have a hand in, sort of, and it was going to be awesome. But this article that came out today further explains the situation where it's like Marvel just, they couldn't get comfortable. They kept saying, please make some revisions. We need revisions on the script. It's got to fit more in line with the
universe.
Phase 3. Because Ant-Man's kicking off Phase 3. It's Avengers 2, which is the end of Phase 2. And then Ant-Man is the first movie in Phase 3.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal.
I trust Marvel.
I do too.
They know what they're doing with film. I mean, we've seen that.
I mean, it's the first hiccup that Marvel's had.
They've had minor ones too, because they were supposed to have Patty Jenkins direct Thor 2, and then she left.
Yeah, that's true.
But they got the guy that did freaking Game of Thrones, and I thought Thor 2 was
Thor
great.
Thor 2 was dark.
It wasn't the best move ever, but like
it was
comic adaption, awesome.
Yep.
Second only to the Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier.
Yeah, and then Winter Soldier came out.
Yeah.
What Marvel should do is just get those guys to direct every movie that they put out.
Now, we will say this, moving on, but keeping it with film this last week, X-Men Days of Future Past, which is a Fox property, which was done by Bryan Singer, so there was about 1,000 things going against it.
Yep.
It had Halle Berry as Storm, 1,001 things going against it.
Or does she make the 1,000, and then the
maybe.
One thing is Bryan Singer was...
Gosh!
Go watch Superman Returns and tell me you weren't worried about X-Men.
Gosh, that movie was so bad. So, have you seen it yet? Did you see Days of Future Past yet? Okay, I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
So, Days of Future Past released this last weekend, and it opened to what, the largest memorial? Day opening of all time.
One of the biggest. Yeah,
300. It already broke 300 million worldwide.
That's nuts.
It
That's
is
insane.
Yeah. So Fox is like, yeah,
we did it.
And comic book fans are like, yeah, you didn't screw it up this time.
Thank you.
So I absolutely loved it. It's really sad that I live in a world where Captain America and X-Men were way better than
and Spider-Man.
However, that is a truth I have to live with right now.
It's the world we live in. Y'all.
X-Men was incredible.
It was.
I really enjoyed it.
I mean, it might have helped that I went in thinking of the 1,001 things that this movie is going to do
wrong. Right, that was me.
That when none of those things happened, like, I want to go watch it again just to see if it was as good as I thought it was or if it just didn't disappoint me as much as I was expecting it to.
Right.
But while I was in that theater, I was having a great time with that movie.
Yeah. Had a blast. There were some great moments with different X-Men characters being a huge X-Men fan. It to me is the best X-Men movie.
Oh, it is totally.
Hands down.
Here's the sad thing about the ironic thing. Okay, it's the 5th all-time opener for Memorial Day.
Wow.
And the crazy thing is, it's not even the number one X-Men movie, like, opening weekend.
Really?
That goes to The Last Stand, which is the worst X-Men movie.
Yeah, but nobody knew it was good.
Except for Wolverine Origin is
Wolverine
really
Origin.
Bad.
That's not a movie.
Yeah.
The Last Stand made $102.8 million here stateside.
Wow.
And Days of Future Past only made, and I say only, you know, like in comparison.
Right.
Jump change.
$90
million. Oh, okay.
That's quite a big difference. All right.
Yeah, so
but everybody
Godzilla
thought
made
Last
more
Stand,
than that, didn't it?
Yeah.
Opening week,
Spider-Man did too.
Wow, yeah.
But everybody thought that Last Stand was going to be amazing, and then
mm-hmm.
not so much. And now
maybe
everyone's like,
why.
"Nope, another X-Men movie. Not going to go watch it."
And it was fantastic. Stay till the very end after the credits.
Yeah.
I loved it. There's a theme in there of someone losing their way, and there's a line in the movie that just like caught me off guard so hard that I got this lump in my throat.
Mm.
The idea of redemption, the idea that we of hope, absolutely, that we can be redeemed. It was like the gospel message of Jesus in there, that
Ooh.
Just because someone loses their way, just because someone has fallen down, does not mean they're beyond hope, beyond redemption, beyond restoration. And man, the idea of never giving up hope on someone, never giving up on someone, continuing to pursue them and love them. I just thought of our Lord who never gives up on us. Mm-hmm. Even though we screw up 1,001 ways, he never gives up. And it was such a powerful theme in the film that I thought it was brilliant.
And the interesting thing is which character says that to which other character.
Because yeah.
that really speaks to like the human mm-hmm. condition in a lot of ways. And I don't want to say who says it to who, because that's a cool thing.
It's a good moment.
That's a spoiler.
Yeah, there's some solid moments. So absolutely incredible. So,
and not only that, if you liked First Class, but you know you're a fan of the first X-Men and X2, and then you're like everybody else in the world said, oh, The Last Stand, oh,
yeah.
Wolverine X-Men Origins, and then the new Wolverine came out, and you're like, it was okay.
Yeah.
This movie perfectly ties in all of that. All of it.
Yeah.
Covers all of it.
Now, I will say this. We were at Fuddruckers this last weekend, and the guy heard us talking and said, oh, you saw X-Men? Me and my son are interested in going to see a movie, but we don't know which one to see. Should we see Spider-Man or X-Men or Godzilla? And I said, yeah, don't see X-Men.
Yeah.
X-Men is definitely more adult themed. There's language in the movie, mm-hmm. which was kind of a bummer. I was going to say lent. It didn't necessarily lend to the story. They probably could have found a way to go without all
it's
the language.
It's a good PG-13.
It really is. It's a solid PG-13.
It's rated that for a reason. But I'd say for like a kid movie, definitely Spider-Man or Godzilla.
Or Godzilla. Godzilla
either one of those.
No language. They created that film for all audiences.
Yeah.
They wanted to make it for all ages. In fact, Godzilla hasn't even released in Japan because school's still in. So it's not releasing until July 25th in Japan to cater to that crowd because they wanted it for kids.
Kiddos.
So, which is crazy!
And Spider-Man's kind of emotional.
Yeah.
So there's a couple moments in that movie where your kid will probably start crying.
Right?
And you'll probably start crying.
Yep. So it's been an incredible summer of movies so far.
I didn't cry. I'm not saying that.
I know.
This is crazy.
We still got three of the movies I'm most looking forward to.
What else do we have?
Let's Transformers.
See. Transformers, Ninja Turtles, and
Guardians.
And Planet of the Apes.
Oh! Dude, I'm most excited about Guardians.
I am too.
Planet of the Apes, which is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
But Planet of the Apes has changed things for me, because when I was at the zoo, I really was sitting there going, are you guys mad at me? You guys mad?
If it weren't for Guardians coming out, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes would be the one I'd be most excited for, because that first one blew my mind.
Yeah, for me,
and
it's
most
Apes
people
and
thought
then
I was crazy.
Guardians.
Okay.
But Transformers 2...
And Mark Wahlberg says that this film is going to be, hands down, the best one, and if you are not floored, you're not paying attention. So
like,
he says it's going to be a step up from all the others.
That new trailer, and Optimus is riding Grimlock around, I gotta admit, I was kind of like, okay, I'll go.
Yes, Michael, man, I will follow.
Fine, I'll do it.
I'm even excited for Turtles. I know a lot of people aren't. How are you feeling? How you feeling, Max? We're both crazy Ninja Turtle fans.
This movie's got... probably 2001 things going against it.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a Ninja Turtles movie.
It's a Turtles movie.
Right. You still got to be pumped for that.
Now, last week, you weren't able to make it here, so we didn't have a chance to talk about this. I mentioned it on the show, but the 30th anniversary of Ninja Turtles released.
Yeah.
And did it just, like, sell out instantaneously or what? Because I noticed you had some on the wall, but, you know.
Not much, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're trying to get some more back in because it was a really cool book. But yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Turtles fans were going nuts for it.
Pretty much.
It was the first collaboration between Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird since 1988.
Wow.
And they're the original creators of the Ninja Turtles. And they got together to do the cover. That was as far as they got.
Like, fine, we'll do it.
That was the whole shebang.
But it was cool. It was this big history of, like, it went through all the different phases that the Ninja Turtles have gone through and brings you right up into what they're doing right now.
I'm not going to lie. Going through the history of the 30 years, it was like, cool, whatever. And I shouldn't say I didn't care about the stories. It was just, man, it made me that much more amped on the fact that today's Ninja Turtles comics are incredible.
Yeah, it really just drives
the story, the writing, the everything, because all the stuff from the past, even though they were like new takes, you know, or extensions, if you will, whatever, from yesteryear, yeah, the writing of the new stuff is where it's at.
Yep.
Like, this is an incredible time.
You can tell where Eastman created the Turtles, and it's this crazy, unique thing. And then you can immediately see when he leaves and turns the writing over to somebody
else.
The
image was... Yeah.
And then... With the new stuff, he's not doing the writing physically, but he's doing all the story for it, and it really shows that there's this depth that I guess he's grown as a creator because it's never been explored before.
Man,
really,
it's fantastic.
Yeah.
So, speaking of things from yesteryear, last week there were a couple comics that we didn't have a chance to talk about. New Avengers 18 released a week ago. That's a big story arc that we've been covering.
Yeah.
Now you picked it up.
I like this.
Yeah.
It's a little, this guy doing the art now, it's a little less jagged, and I don't know, the art makes the book make more sense,
okay.
If you will.
No, it's important, man. Art's a huge deal.
Especially in New Avengers, because that book's confusing.
It's confusing, and when the art is confusing, like when you have the guy that's drawing, because we're covering like 3 or 4 different parallel timelines, and it's all basically the same characters, and he draws them slightly different, you know? You have to really pay attention to
who
you're looking at.
He's got blue eyes and he's got aqua eyes.
Or Mr. Fantastic's hair looks a little more messed up in this universe. That's literally it.
Right.
You know, he looks a little crazier. Yeah. Like, oh, this one's slightly more unkempt. Right. This must be a parallel universe. You know? That's what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate this artist. Sheedy, maybe, for hopefully not pronouncing his name like a cuss word. I think that's how you say it. But, yeah, so this book, it covers a little bit about what's going on in Wakanda during all this, because these parallel universes are
colliding,
and the world that our Earth is about to collide with, because the New Avengers, they're like the Illuminati. They're the top minds in the Marvel 616 universe, and they've come up with a way to fight these incursions, which are the parallel Earths colliding literally with our Earth. And they find a way to battle it. But this Earth that's about to hit us has this team of heroes that is a lot like the JLA.
That's
from DC.
Yep.
On purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And that team has defeated other Earths, not by any scientific method, just by fighting and beating the crap out of the other people.
It's because the Justice League is the best.
They're pretty great. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe. But anyway. This issue is really cool, because we also, this kind of ties into Original Sin, because we kind of see the sin of Wakanda, which is where the Black Panther's from.
Yeah.
And we see, maybe, not definite, like, it doesn't say Original Sin tie-in.
Right.
But we kind of see where they've been this whole time, because Black Panther's really struggling with what's going on and what's about to happen, because he and Namor, I think, saw this other team and how they've defeated. So he and Namor have warned the 616 Illuminati of what's to come.
Nice.
So the next issue is going to be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really excited about what's happening with Original Sin and those. Now, you mentioned Justice League. I wanted to mention one more from last week. Did you read this?
I love that book.
Okay. I was like mad that I'm not. I need to be on this book.
Yeah.
I need you to put me on this book.
Put him on the book, Max.
Aquaman and the Others. It's only on issue number 2, and I know you're immediately going Aquaman. Really?
Aquaman.
If you're not into comic books,
Baxter's over at the edge going Aquaman.
Yeah, he was giving me so much crap about Aquaman. They have made him so cool. Geoff Johns came in and like retconned everything that was dumb about him and made him amazing. And Dan Jurgens has carried that torch with Aquaman and the Others. And this ties into Future's End in a great way. Also, there's this theme in this issue. There's a character named Prisoner of War. Basically, Aquaman and the Others is is his other team, the not Justice League. He's got the Justice League.
Aquaman has his own team.
He's got his own team of others. And yeah, there's one character, Prisoner of War, who was basically this Marine and watched all of his fellow soldiers die around him. And so he carries the ghosts of those soldiers with him. So he's constantly burdened because he promised these fellow soldiers that he would take care of the families, but he still has their ghosts, if you will, like following him around,
haunting
with him.
Kind
of, they're supposed to be helping him, but in this issue, he kind of comes to terms with the fact that maybe they're not helping so much as they're hindering him because he's constantly focused on them and focused on what's behind him. Mm. And there are times in our lives where we fall, where we fail, but we allow those failures to just stay with us, and we stare at them wholeheartedly, so much so that we are no good when, say, you know, giant robots are trying to take over the universe.
Happens every
and
day.
All you're doing is staring at the ghosts of the past, when really you should be punching freaking robots in the face!
Yeah, and you know,
so
that kind of goes...
That's what I got from it.
Well, I had that conundrum this morning on the way here.
Are you
that's
okay?
Why I was a little late. I
yeah.
had to...
You're dealing with those sins of the past?
Well, no, I was just looking in my rearview mirror. And
oh,
then,
ghosts in the back seat.
I see that there's, you know, giants in front of me, and I'm like, oh.
So, hey, maybe you're clinging to something of the past. Stop it. Just start punching giant robots in the face.
Well, there's that verse that says, it's in Hebrews, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses.
Yeah.
And that's supposed to be an encouragement.
Right.
Not a discouragement.
Not a discouragement. And at times we can look at the failures of the past and cling to those rather than look to what we should be doing today, because the Bible also reminds us that God's mercies are new every day. So
every
it
day.
Doesn't matter what you did yesterday.
Every day.
What are you going to do today?
Every day.
Punch giant robots
punch.
In the face. Boom!
Punch!
You know,
that's great you bring that up, because I'm looking at all these books that we're reading. That's a theme that runs through all of them this
mm-hmm.
week.
Mm. It really is.
It's everywhere.
True. It is everywhere. It's a huge theme. It's so funny how comics can become so thematic, like to where they're just in line with one another. Because mm-hmm. a book that, I got to be honest, Max, moving on to this week's books, Futures End number 4, I've been kind of lack of caring about this book.
You say that like I'm going to cry in the corner.
Why are you crying, Max?
Because
it's Frankenstein on the cover.
Because it's got Frankenstein on the cover, and because it's DC, and because we're both really hopeful for what they're doing with this, but it's starting to feel disconjointed.
No, it's
there's
like I was saying,
so much happening.
It's like I was saying last night on my show, because a lot of people have been asking me, what is up with Futures End? It's not like Batman Eternal, where it's this tiny little Gotham universe you got to build. I mean, they got to rebuild the entire DC universe.
Yes. So for those who haven't been
following
7 years
in the future.
Futures End, it is set in the future of the DC universe, and we don't exactly know how we got here yet. We kind of know, we're starting to learn some things, but, you know, Green Arrow's dead. A lot of people are either missing and or gone, and it's a different world, and so it's set, you know, 7 years in the future, and now we're trying to figure out what's going on, and you're right. There's so many story arcs happening that,
And really, I think when Earth 2 goes weekly
mm-hmm.
for like 6 months, that's when it's all going to start coming together, because they keep referencing this interdimensional war.
Yeah.
And it hasn't happened yet, so...
Which is kind of confusing, because you're like, wait, what is happening?
Right, so Earth 2 is going to get us from, like, the present to the future, mm-hmm. and then this is going to set us up for the future, which is going to set us up for Future's End.
Dude, I totally agree with the reason Future's End is more confusing, is because it's covering... It's universe-wide, and Batman Eternal is Batman-wide.
Right.
You know? So even as confusing as the Batman... New 52 Batman has a ton of people.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge cast.
It's like Batman Incorporated, for real.
Yeah.
And you got this guy named Batwing. Who is he? I don't know. And then you got 14 Robins running around. One of them's dead.
Right.
And he's actually Bruce Wayne's son, you know.
But he's coming back, so get ready.
Right,
It won't get any more confusing when
he comes
back.
But the cool thing is, now, like especially this week with Batman Eternal, we've kind of come back to where we were with issue 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
Now,
I'm glad about it.
Having multiple weeklies, Futures End every week, Batman Eternal every week, Futures End still feels disconnected. Like, I feel like I have to go back and read every single issue because it's not like a previously on Futures End. It's just like, hey, by the way, 170,000 miles away over here, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
And you're like, but what was last week? I don't even remember. What was
week before? I really wish they would start, like, just take that inside cover... previously on.
Right.
because I do not organize my collection as well as I should. And
I
oftentimes,
don't either!
I can't find last week's issue of Futures End.
So, on the flip side, Batman Eternal is trying to do a better job because it is a weekly. It is set in the Batman universe, as you said, and they're doing... Man, they're doing some cool stuff.
They are.
It's starting to pick up because there for a couple, I was like, all right, I'm still getting you.
It's going to be like that, though.
It's gonna, I mean,
yeah,
I know.
It's the same in monthlies. You just don't notice it because there's a month between issues.
Because it's a month between, yeah. So Batman Eternal picking up the pace this week. And at least this one, I had more respect for it after four issues into Future's End and going, what the crap? And being eight issues into Batman Eternal and going, at least I know what's going on.
All I can say is wait for September on Future's End.
Okay. All right.
Have you seen those yet? The 3D covers?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. With the one-shots of, like, Superman and all the different ones?
Yep.
Yes.
Every DC book in September is going Future's End.
So. Cash grab! Probably not, actually.
Cash moves everything around me.
Cream, get the money! Dollar bills, y'all.
I like money, give me some!
That's DC's new motto.
That's a rap song, right?
So, we gotta talk one more DC book before we move on to Marvel.
Yes, I'm really glad that we're talking about this one.
This is a book that I was hesitant to get. Nightwing,
Nightwing.
His name's Dick Grayson. He's the original Robin, and he's could be my favorite character in the DC universe.
Could be always the greatest DC character of all time.
Could be.
I don't know. I'm a little biased.
We're crazy biased, huge fans.
Of all
and then
time.
Forever Evil happened, and we were like, oh crap, they're going to kill Dick Grayson, and I was pretty pissed about that.
And they did.
And then
for a panel. But it really, it was like 3 months because the book was delayed.
Right.
I had to let it sink in.
Yeah.
Gosh. So we had no idea what was happening. This week, Nightwing issue 30 releases. It is the final issue of Nightwing. And so I was hesitant because we've already seen everything we needed to see in Forever Evil. What really could happen? What could they do? This book was incredible.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Because, spoiler alerts for those that haven't read Forever Evil yet. Dick Grayson is not dead. He died in the public eye, if
quote
you will.
Unquote.
Well, he did die. His heart did stop. He did die. Lex Luthor saved him, brought him back. And so he's alive, but to the world, including Alfred, Barbara Gordon, basically everybody in the Batman universe, they all believe he's still dead.
Except for Batman. Batman's
except for
the only
Batman.
One that knows.
Well,
Batman.
And now Alfred.
No, Alfred didn't know.
Right. Until.
No, I don't think he knows. Did he see it? I don't think
he walked down on them fighting in this comic.
No, he walked in on Bruce by himself at the end.
Mm, yeah. I thought he walked in on them fighting.
Nope.
Well, there you go. The whole Bat family doesn't
literally
know.
No one knows except for Batman.
The Bat family full of lies and mistrust and misdirection?
Yeah.
No.
Right? That's not how Batman operates.
And that's awesome.
Game of Thrones has nothing on the awfulness that is this family.
Yeah.
Because, you want to talk about a dysfunctional family, the Batman family went. So, this takes place post-Forever Evil, setting up a brand new series coming out in July called Grayson.
Agent of Spiral.
What happened is, in the Forever Evil series, Dick Grayson was unmasked. So now the world knows he's Nightwing. And it was like, how are they going to deal with this? What are they going to do? Oh, cool, they killed him. And yet he lived, and Batman's the only one that knows. This comic that's coming in
July...
Well,
Lex Luthor knows, too.
Sounds really... That's right, Lex knows. Lex knows, too!
That's my favorite part. That is my favorite part of Forever Evil.
Yeah.
That is my favorite part.
Yeah.
Is the relationship between Lex Luthor and Bruce Wayne now.
Yep.
That is my favorite thing.
Yeah.
That was, like, what made it for me. The whole conclusion of Forever Evil was so good... Because it established, you know, it summed it all up, but then there's this new craziness.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part of it.
If you didn't read Forever Evil, you're going to have to go grab them because that entire series was fantastic. It's really setting up this new series coming out in July called Grayson, where he's basically a super spy.
Yep.
And it's going to be a completely different kind of book.
It's the most dangerous assignment Batman has ever sent him on.
Yeah, which is cool. And so it really set up the future of this character. He doesn't have a mask. He still has his cool sticks. I will say the last few pages of this Nightwing issue, which really kind of set up
it sets
the Grayson book.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the tone of the book, man, I am
Did you notice that this issue of Nightwing has a different writer?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the same writer that is going to be writing.
Oh my god! Yeah. Which makes me happy because this was one of the best Nightwing issues of the whole run.
Except for maybe the first one, even this probably was the best Nightwing issue.
To me, it was because it paid homage to him being Batman, which to me, the Dark Shadow and the few runs that he had as Batman, to me, are my favorite Batman runs ever.
Mm-hmm.
He was the coolest Batman.
Absolutely.
I'm still pissed at DC for taking that away because when Bruce Wayne died, quote unquote, Dick Grayson had to take over the mantle, and I love that they paid homage to every part of his life had meaning, and it reminds you of those moments in your life where at the time you can be confused and not understand what's happening in your world, but then you look back upon everything that you've gone through, everything you've been through, and we know as you and I are studying the book of James right now that there are these trials that come into our lives, and the Bible says to count it joy when you face these trials of various kinds because they produce perseverance and they produce these amazing things in you, and God is kind of refining you, and you see all of these things in Dick Grayson's life, whether it be Robin, Nightwing, Batman, what they have set him up to become. I'm stoked for Grayson.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Grayson's going to be cool.
Yeah, Grayson's going to be a really cool series coming in July.
To see him being like a spy.
You got to put me down for that.
Okay, I'm going to put you down for that.
Here's something that I don't like as we shift into Marvel gear.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it when a comic teases a character on the cover and that character does not even appear in the book.
Right?
Wait, did Captain... I forgive me, I was not able to read Guardians of the Galaxy this week.
Didn't even show up.
Captain Marvel isn't...
Not even in it. And it's funny because it says on the cover, and now, Captain Marvel. She's not even in the whole book.
Wow.
This issue of
Guardians
of the
Galaxy... Talk about a
money grab. Yeah. Right, because Guardians of the Galaxy, you know... It's monthly, and this new series has potential to be amazing.
This is a filler issue.
It is a filler issue. You get about 3 minutes into the future in this entire issue.
Wow.
It's just setting everything up, which is cool because it's setting up some really good stuff, but man, oh man.
Well, I'm just confused because I'm pretty sure this moment happened 2 issues ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's on the cover where she shows up. That was 2 issues ago, and we haven't moved on. We've kind of backtracked, and something's happened. I'm going to have to go back and read what happened, because I can't remember what got them all disassembled.
It was the first issue. I was kind of bummed with the writing in a sense that...
Me too.
Gosh, normally Bendis is so on it with everything, and somehow, some way, it just felt like a filler. There was an issue with All New X-Men and Guardians of the Galaxy where they did a crossover, and Guardians didn't progress the storyline any further.
Mm-hmm.
You just saw the Guardians' perspective. But the writing of it was so intriguing that it was great. This was the first one that I was like, darn, okay.
It was a bummer.
But it's pretty important.
It is important.
It's
like, stuff
you
that
need
happens
to know where everything...
Yeah. Yeah, stuff that happens in here is necessary.
Very necessary.
So that's why it's there. But I hate it when they put people on the cover that aren't even in the comic.
Is this the first issue since Free Comic Book Day?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
They had that one that came out the Wednesday before Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah.
And so it was like, you got two Guardians right back to back, basically. And then this issue came out, and it was like, dang it. We're not getting anywhere with this story.
They're just setting up new readers.
Come on! You got Venom up in this, and doing cool things? Do something!
And it's intriguing. Venom on the team at first seemed like a really stupid idea.
Yeah.
But now it's pretty good. It's neat how they're approaching it.
Speaking of yelling at writers and telling them to do something, we've been kind of frustrated with Avengers and Hickman because it seemed very closely tied into Forever Evil and what they were doing. And so it's like, Hickman, you're one of the best writers in the universe.
What are you doing?
Do something. And he's like, all right, how's this? Avengers 30. Did you read Avengers 30?
I did.
Oh my gosh. Mm.
I was impressed with it because, Hickman Avengers normally to me, it's like, when you wake up in the morning and you're still trying to figure out like what universe you're existing in and nothing's really making sense, and then all of a sudden 15 people start talking at you and you're like, slow down, I can't.
Right.
That's what Avengers has been. But Original Sin is fantastic, so a tie-in was just what that book needed to bring it back to.
I love that it starts off betrayal plus 48
years. The writing on this one, which makes it... gosh, it's really hard to pick between, honestly, Nightwing 30 or Avengers 30. So it's kind of ironical that they're
Avengers
both issue 30s. But could be the book of the week, man. It is absolutely incredible. The writing is awesome. And I've always enjoyed the relationship between Captain America and Iron Man. The Tony Stark versus Steve Rogers. You've got the Boy Scout. You've got the billionaire playboy.
The new America and the old America.
Yeah, they both, you know, they both care about humans. Mm-hmm. They just have different ways of going about saving people, if you will. And, gosh, the writing just nails that completely. The differences and yet how they kind of have the same things in mind, yet I guess I'm old-fashioned because I am way more a Cap guy than I am an Iron Man guy. I love what they're doing with Captain America right now.
I love Tony Stark's gadgets, but I mean, it's Captain America.
Right!
Come on!
I'm just happy to have Hawkeye actually playing a role.
Yes,
that's cool.
Dude.
And I love the other characters. Hyperion in Avengers World, which I finally got to read. Steve-O gave it to me like days ago and I just never read it, and then two nights ago I sat down and read it and was like, oh, I love Hyperion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the Starbrand guy.
Oh.
This is really cool. What happened in the last issue of Avengers is Cap confronts Tony, mm-hmm. and then the time gem, because
shatters.
If we remember, Captain America tried to use the Infinity Gauntlet and all of the gems exploded, and I think the time gem
was
disappeared.
The only one that disappeared.
It just disappeared.
Yep.
Well, they're sitting there in the last issue at the end of the issue in Avengers 29, and Captain America's like, Tony, I remember what you guys did.
Yep.
And this is all fallout from Original Sin when the Watcher got shot. Everybody remembered all these things that were secrets. All these memories started coming back to people, and it was like, oh no.
Yeah.
Which is going to be interesting to see what all comes back to, like Spider-Man, to Wolverine, to all the characters across the universe, because the Watcher has been holding these secrets, you know? So anyway, last panel of Avengers 29, the time gem appears right in between Captain America and Tony Stark, and then it shatters. And then the first panel of this issue says, betrayal plus 48 years.
I love it.
And we're in the future. The time gem has just shot them all 48 years in the future.
Yeah.
Which is funny because DC is doing Futures End.
Right.
But it's only 5 years in the future.
Yeah, this is 48, so it's totally different.
Totally different.
How are any of these people still alive 48 years in the future?
Who do you think actually came up with the idea first? Do you think Jonathan Hickman came up with this years ago? Or do you think DC came up with it and then Marvel heard about it and they were like, who do we need? Hickman, you know this crap. You write it.
Right.
I'm going to say that DC probably came up with it first, because my hunch with Futures End and these weekly books is I don't think they're originally supposed to be weekly books.
Oh.
But I think that the timeline has been moved up.
Because of Marvel doing this stuff?
Well, because they're like, hey, DC's like, our people are kind of unhappy with the new 52. We should do something really cool. Let's get through this year as quickly as possible.
Do you think they're going to retcon the new 52? It kind of feels like they're
all
setting up a whole
books
new...
end on the like exact same week.
Okay.
Weird.
I'm telling you, I think this is their new flashpoint. That they're
something is going
setting
to happen.
Up a whole new universe.
Well, you
that's
know.
Why I say be patient with Futures End, because like come the end of the year, you're really going to want to know what happened.
Well, just wait for Marvel, because in 2015 they've started teasing. It's like the end of all things. And on the thing, it just shows those two worlds coming towards each other. So now it's like, wait, is Marvel about to do what they said they weren't going to do?
They're
Marvel
about to do
said
a
they were not going
to
do a new 52 relaunch.
Yeah, they are.
And it's looking like they're totally going to do.
Come on, they looked at the numbers for DC sales that first week, and they're like, yeah, we should probably do that.
Yeah.
The funny thing, though, is like Spider-Man beat out Batman last month, you know?
Yeah.
And that
was crazy.
Terrible writing.
Because
but
it was
somehow,
a number one.
A number one.
Yep.
It's funny to watch the market, like they're like, yeah, we just want to preserve the integrity. It's like that scene in Anchorman 2. I don't know if you guys remember it, but it's like, no, I really feel like this news channel is going to preserve the integrity of journalism and blah, and then it's Anchorman.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's totally a stab at the news industry, but that's exactly what's going on with the comics. It's like, no, we just want to write good character-driven stories and really focus on the condition of people and blah, 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 blah. Hey, see what they're doing. You see what they're doing, and then we're going to do that. Six months. Give it 6 months. Yeah, so we just really care about our fans. And
Why
do they do it? 3D covers? Yeah.
Do it!
Yeah, so, you know, no gimmicks, just focusing on the story.
No gimmicks, but here's these weekly books with 3D covers. I mean, it's the never-ending conundrum between the creative side of comics and, you know, you have all these you have Marvel and DC owned by these giant media conglomerates.
Yeah.
So, like, hey, if your bottom line
Yeah, they have to.
Isn't this, you're all going to lose your job.
Here's my hope. I'm okay with them, like, rebooting. I really am okay with them rebooting everything and saying, everything you believed in the past is a lie. This is a whole new starting over. Okay, cool. Can you just stick with that? Because with DC, some frustrating things are continuing to read Green Lantern right now and Batman right now. I am so confused because Dick Grayson referenced him being Batman.
Yeah!
And so I was like, wait, so... So you didn't retcon that, so that still happened because, within the span of 5 years.
How did all that happen? And then we have, in the preview for the new Superman number one, which is going to be awesome, he's walking through the Daily Planet, and you see where he died and came back in the background. It's like, when did that happen?
Yeah, right. and they're, you know, it was weird because in Justice League number one, they talk about how it's the first time that they've met Darkseid, but Batman's already been killed. By Darkseid.
Yeah.
Very confusing.
Yeah.
So I...
That's why if Marvel decides to do this, they should just go, poof, it's all new!
That's what I think.
Zero history, starting fresh.
I'm about to throw out the most controversial opinion you can have about Spider-Man. You guys ready for this?
Yes.
And this goes back to when I started reading comics. I jumped in the middle of something called the Clone Saga in the 90s.
That's a really easy place to jump in.
Here it is. You ready for this? I think if Marvel would have stuck to their guns and left Ben Reilly as Spider-Man, none of this mess with Spider-Man would be going. I wish they would have done it. I really do. I wish that they would have said, hey, Peter's married. He's going to go off with Mary Jane. He's not the real Peter, but they're in love and they got a kid. Let him go. And I wish they would have started with Ben Reilly and just kept going.
Yeah. I would completely agree with you. I think Batman falls into the same category.
Yep.
However, what do you do for... I mean, you're just going to deny future generations Peter Parker?
Well, but it was Peter.
No, we got Peter Parker. You don't get Peter Parker. You get Ben Reilly.
See, that was my thing. It was Peter. Supposedly, it was the real Peter. And you weren't denying future generations of Peter. You were denying previous generations of Peter is what you were doing. But they had already had it. That's my whole thing. It's like they could have kickstarted. They could have started over and taken it in completely new directions. But instead, we got Peter, and then we got Ultimate Peter, and then we got Brand New Day Peter, and then One More Time Peter, and One Direction Peter, and then we got Octo Spidey. You know what I'm saying? And you really had a chance. But it was the 90s, they're making so much money, and if there was a little bit of backlash, they were scared. Because that's when comics was booming.
Yeah.
Like, multi-billion dollar industry, which it's not now.
Yeah.
No.
Not at all.
That's just my...
It's better now, but...
It's better. Better quality, but it's not the industry it was.
See, and I think they could have done that, because then you look at characters like Green Lantern, where Kyle Rayner came in, where you have different Green Lanterns, and in my opinion, they've worked out great. You had Barry Allen died, so Wally West came in and took the mantle, and Wally West, some people say he's the best Flash, which they're out of their mind.
No, he's not.
He's not.
Well, no.
Which
one? No, they are not. Wally West is the best Flash.
Barry Allen is the best Flash!
Barry Allen is the reason that my DC universe is so complicated.
Yeah.
Tell him why. You know, because people don't know what we're talking about right now.
Because when Barry Allen came back to life, it messed everything up.
Yeah. I loved Rebirth. I thought it was great.
So did I. Mean, it was a great book, but that universe got complicated the minute he showed up, and then he creates Flashpoint, which creates the New 52. And
right,
are you with me on how confusing this is so
far? Yeah, no, absolutely.
Welcome to the convoluted nature of comics, which is why I say if they're going to kickstart a character, they do it. And they just freaking do it. And they deal with the lower sales for 6 months. And then when people realize, wait a second, this is kind of cool, and I like comics anyway because I'm a nerd and I don't have any friends, so this is all I got.
Reference they keep the buying Superior them. Spider-Man.
There you go.
There you go.
All right.
My last thought on these reboots. If you're going to do it, I don't know how it is for other comic book readers, but for me, I don't really need these long, like, 400-issue arcs on characters. Give me concise... good stories, whether it's 4 issues or 20 issues, but have a plan for it.
Yeah.
And when that writer is done with his plan, move on to the next guy.
There you go.
Well, this last weekend you had Colin Bunn in at Astro Zombies, the writer for Magneto, Sinestro.
Yeah.
And had a chance to talk to him for a minute. I'm not gonna lie, I got like nervous. That was the first comic writer that I've met. When Peter David was at the shop, really rad.
Yeah.
Totally cool guy. He freaking created Spider-Man 2099, and we got to talk all day long about that next
Factor. Which is gonna be writing again.
But for some reason, Colin Bunn, I just got like kind of nervous. It's like, dude, you're a great writer, and you're writing Sinestro and Magneto right now, you know? But I was talking to him about that very thing, like, how did that come about, and creating Magneto and, you know, writing these guys at the same time, because they're both kind of the anti-hero, but they're heroes, but they're villains. And he said with Marvel, when he approached Marvel, he has this, like, arc in mind laid out ahead of time. But when he sent it to him, he only sent them, like, a little thing, and it was from Magneto number one, where basically he takes those signposts and, like, murders a guy. And that's what he sent to Marvel, and Marvel said, sold, and they allowed him to do it. And it was like, wow. So Marvel entrusted one of their biggest characters on this new, like, reboot, if you will, of who Magneto is, based upon, like, a one page that he sent.
That had nothing to do with the character. Just had to do with his powers.
Just had to do with, like, hey, man, want to do this really amazing scene where I murder a guy with, like, signposts.
Yeah, like, cool.
What do you think? And they were like, heck yeah, bro, dark, do it.
Murdering.
Thankfully, Colin Bunn has a really good idea for what he wants to do with Magneto, but it's like, we get those scenes or those moments, and that's where they're kind of taking it. So, scary.
Do I have time to talk about one book? That's not neither of these things. It's a superhero book, though. It's an Image number one that came out this week by Kyle Higgins, who was writing Nightwing.
Yeah.
It's called COWL.
Okay.
Which stands, COWL stands for the Chicago Organized Workers League.
Really?
It's set in 1962, and it's all about a superhero union in Chicago.
No way.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
All right.
And I highly recommend. I brought a copy for you guys.
Okay.
I left it in my car, but I'll bring it back in to show you guys.
No, yay, no.
But it was, it was the greatest.
Okay.
It was so much fun.
Cowell. And I like Kyle Higgins. He does good. He's from
Chicago. So, like, the whole thing is, like,
Chicago.
Super.
When you're passionate about something, I love that. Yeah. I'm a fan when a writer can take something and go, hey, here's my passion. Here's what I want to do. So, kudos. And it's Image, which means it'll probably be pretty good.
Yeah.
So, I like that they let people be creative and just own it. Well, creator owner.
Yeah, just like, hey, you got a story, go. Do it. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Here's six issues. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, well.
Boom. All right, there you go. All right, that is it for Comics Corner. Comics Corner, of course, sponsored by Astro Zombies, 3100 Central Avenue Southeast, astrozombies.com, or 232-7800. Max, thanks for coming in and hanging. We totally, got to do this more often.
Love you, Max.
Every week.
Like every week. Yeah.
It'd be great.
Guys, we posted weekly.
We're getting closer to that.
We are. It's pretty fantastic.
We're working. We posted a link to astrozombies.com. You can find everything you need to know about Max there.
There you go. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. And, of course, your weekly podcast that you do, the videocast.
The videocast.
I love it. So there you go. You can check out all the details at Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Taking a quick break. Coming right back. It's the 9 o'clock hour. It's Wednesday. Shock Therapy Live rolls your way next. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.